Ben Saul, welcome back to Full Story.
Good to be with you.
I want to get stuck straight into it. Are the US and Israeli strikes on Iran legal?
The attacks on Iran are clearly illegal under international law. This is what we call the crime of aggression. It's an armed attack which gives Iran a right of self-defense against the attackers. The only circumstances in which you can lawfully use force is if Iran had attacked the United States or Israel, which it hadn't, or if the Security Council had authorized force against Iran. And again, that hasn't happened. So this is a violation of one of the most fundamental rules of world order since 1945.
I want to talk about the domestic reaction. The Australian government has repeatedly deferred to the US and Israel to explain the legal basis for their attacks, whilst at the same time explicitly endorsing them. How disturbed are you by that?
It seems to be grossly irresponsible by the Australian government, because you can't endorse something without first taking a position on whether it's legal. If you're supporting the US action and the US action is aggression and is unlawful under international law, then Australia is supporting breaking the United Nations Charter, eroding the fundamental prohibition on the use of force since 1945, which is designed to keep all countries safe.
Anthony Albanese has provided a grab bag of reasons for why the Australian government is backing these strikes. He's referenced Iran's nuclear program, its crackdown on protesters, its alleged orchestration of attacks on Australian soil back in 2024. Do any of those reasons provide legal justification for supporting an all-out war and the assassination of a leader?
Lots of countries do bad things. It doesn't mean you can bomb them to change their behavior. International law allows use of force only if an armed attack is occurring or if an armed attack is imminent. Now, of course, Iran is still at the stage of enriching nuclear material. It doesn't have a nuclear weapon. It hasn't taken a decision to actually build a nuclear weapon, and it hasn't given an order to use a nuclear weapon against anybody. So this is really what we call preemptive self-defense against some future hypothetical speculative attack, which takes us into incredibly dangerous territory in a world where lots of countries have adversaries, lots of countries have weapons which other countries don't like, but it doesn't mean you can preemptively attack them to somehow try to make your own security position better. That's a recipe for incredible destabilization and violence, and that's why the countries that won the Second World War, who were absolutely conscious of security risks, decided to limit the use of force only to those situations where it's absolutely necessary.
I do want to talk in a moment about the state of international law and that system built after World War II, but the latest mind-boggling claim from the US is that it attacked Iran because it learnt that Israel was going to launch strikes against Tehran, and that would have led to retaliation against the US and US bases. Does an argument like that hold any water?
That's no justification for using force whatsoever, but I think it also indicates just how perilous this path of attacking Iran has been. It's launched wars across a whole range of countries in the Middle East as a result of Iran's retaliation. It's unleashed Hezbollah in Lebanon. And of course, we know from the experience of US interventions in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Libya, that longer term, these kinds of interventions have a habit of spawning new generations of terrorists and insurgents who go off and commit attacks worldwide. Look at ISIS, which was a creation of those interventions.
What about Iran's response? It's been striking US bases across the region. Is that a legitimate form of self-defense?
Iran absolutely has a right of necessary and proportionate self-defense against Israeli and United States attacks. So it can attack US and American military targets, bases, personnel, equipment. It cannot, of course, attack civilians in any country, and it certainly can't broaden its response, as it has done, to attack certain Gulf states who are not in any way involved in the US and Israeli attacks. So those are unlawful armed attacks and aggressions by Iran itself against those countries.
How should Australia have responded?
Australia says it supports a rules-based international order, and for a long time, Australia has been a good international citizen, relatively speaking. You know, in a time when you can't rely on the United States for good, positive leadership in support of international order, it makes it all the more important that countries like Australia, middle powers, Australia, Canada, the UK, step up and support international law and reject this kind of lawlessness which is tearing down the international order designed to make us safer. There are countries who are doing the right thing. Switzerland, Spain, Norway, these are countries that have been very strong in their support for the United Nations Charter and international law. But if you don't stand up for it, then of course it emboldens the US and Israel to think that they can get away with law breaking in future. Countries like Australia have to raise the political price for these kinds of violations.
When you say that countries like Australia, Canada, other middle powers should be pushing the US to respect international law, what does that look like in a practical sense?
So as a first step, of course, it requires publicly and privately denouncing these attacks and putting it clearly on the record that Australia does not support this kind of lawlessness. Secondly, it requires us not to, for example, share any intelligence or allow the use of any military bases or assets, including intelligence gathering facilities, to enable these kinds of lawless attacks. Thirdly, it does require us to potentially use our leverage in our defence and military relationship with the United States. We are a respected voice in the United States and our position does matter. All countries are sensitive to a point about their international reputation, particularly with allies. That's the same in the Australia-Israel relationship. And so we should stand up and use that leverage to try to push them in the right direction.
Ben, it is hard to overstate just how seismic a moment this is for the region, for the world. What legal or diplomatic consequences should the US face for this, as you say, illegal act of aggression? And do you hold any hope that it will actually face any consequences?
Of course, it's really tough to enforce international law against superpowers who have made no secret that they not only oppose international law, but are actively seeking to destroy it, like by imposing sanctions on the International Criminal Court. Aggression is a crime for Israeli and US war leaders, military and political. They haven't accepted the jurisdiction of the International Criminal Court, so there's no power in that court to prosecute, but it is a crime under customary international law, and that gives other countries potentially a right to prosecute as well. At the very least, the General Assembly must pass a resolution denouncing this as aggression. Countries bilaterally should make their views known that this is illegal, and there should be potentially military and economic consequences for relationships between countries and the United States and Israel.
For years now, particularly when you look at all that Israel has gotten away with in Gaza, people have expressed despair that international law is dead. Is this yet another indication, another sign that the system built after World War II has died, has collapsed?
These are certainly really tough times for international law. At the same time, international law is pretty resilient. I mean, it's been around for at least 500 years. It's weathered all kinds of storms and states keep coming back to it because it does offer a way of settling disputes.
Does it really?
Of course, it has low points and high points. And certainly we like to talk of the period at the end of the Cold War as a kind of heyday, but that was only a couple of decades. I mean, for most of the Cold War, international law was paralyzed. So is today worse than that? Well, it's hard to say, but it is really important for countries to show strength in the face of American lawlessness, because Trump does seem to respect strength. I mean, when Europe stood up over Greenland, when China stood up over the trade wars, President Trump back down. He's not omnipotent. He doesn't have all-consuming power, which no state can oppose. But it does require enough states to collectively band together in solidarity to oppose lawlessness. If it's just a few countries, then of course he can pick them off one by one. There's unity and strength in unity, and Australia should stand with other middle powers and oppose lawlessness by any country, whether it's Russia, Israel, the United States. We should be objective in the way that we apply international law and not ignore it when it's our friends that are violating the law.
The US has boasted about that lawlessness. In his first public comments since initiating the war, the US Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, told media, and I quote, "No stupid rules of engagement, no nation-building quagmire, no democracy-building exercise, no politically correct wars. We fight to win." What does that tell you about the US's respect or lack thereof for international law? And what does that mean for the rule of law anywhere in the world?
So I think it shows you just how clueless the current US administration is about what are the conditions necessary to ensure peace and security worldwide. Relying on Donald Trump to ensure global peace and security is the worst possible thing we could all accept at the moment. That's evident from the current situation where the United States is clearly the most present threat to international peace and security in the world today. It's unleashed a totally unnecessary war in the Middle East in the midst of negotiations, which were providing a peaceful pathway to contain any potential future threat by Iran. It's already toppled the Venezuelan government and abducted its leader, so it's causing chaos in the Americas as well. It's destroying the global economic and trade system. So putting all your eggs in the basket of Donald Trump and hoping for a peaceful world order, I think, goes against all the lessons of history. There's not going to be somehow overnight a rights-respecting democracy popping up in Iran. What the United States and Israel have done is created generations of new insurgencies, new terrorist threats, new violence and instability, not just in Iran, but further afield as well. And that's not good for anybody's security.
We'll be right back.